Good morning, brethren and visitors. Before I go any further, if you weren't here last week, boy, you missed it. Before I go any further, I'd like to thank God for the courage and spirit that he gave our brother Alfonso to deliver that message. He is a gift to each and every one of us. And it's great to hear a perspective outside of what our norm, or what we would consider norm. Alfonso, thank you, brother. And for each and every one of you, thank God for each and every one of you, and may he bless your role in which he has given each and every one of us to perform within his church, that we can bring glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus forevermore. Let God be praised. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of mine, and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine, and will disclose it to you. Before we dive into our lesson, I have a moment of encouragement for all the brethren. Let there be no doubt, none soul, not in this building, what God can do through you by his Spirit. What do you see when you looked in the mirror this morning? Did you see a man? Did you see just a man? There's more than meets the eye, brother. Did you see a woman? Is that all you saw? There's so much more. Did you see a child? Weak. Not of great stature. Maybe not so learned in the ways of God and of the kingdom. Children, there is so much more to you than you know. This woman, was she old or was she young? Was she strong or was she feeble? This man, was he young or was he old? Was he one of great stature or one of small stature? It does not matter to God. This woman, this man, and this child that looks in the mirror, it's not what they see. It's sometimes what they do not see. And sometimes we refuse to see that spirit of light that is within each and every one of us. There is something more in you that is where the Spirit of the Lord is present. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, Christ Jesus is present there. And as one who has been given all power and authority of the Father, he gives each and every covenant child of God the indwelling of this power, that of his Spirit. Let there be no doubt, brethren, our God is sovereign God. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all and ever present. He is not bound by time and space and that of matter. He is not bound by the law of physics. He is the creator of the law of physics. And he commands them for his own will and for his own purpose by his power. He is not bound by Satan. Satan is bound by him. He is not bound by our finite knowledge, our knowledge. Not at all. He is the owner and possessor of all knowledge, and he gives graciously to all of those who ask. He is not bound by man's laws. He does not play by man's rules. He does as he wills and fulfills his promises. So shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding. That's Isaiah 55:11. God is not bound by the measure of a man's faith. Read Mark 9:24, brethren. And finally, God is not bound by death. I'll read from the book of Acts. The God who made the world and all the things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek him if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, and even some, as our own poets have said, for we are his children. Being then children of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art or thought of a man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Spirit of transformation. Let's talk about Simon for a while. You don't know this guy Simon too well, because that's not what he's called now. We know him as Simon Peter. But let's talk about this man, Simon. Before we do, let's go to the upper room. And in the upper room, Jesus just didn't talk to his disciples. He promised. He made a series of general promises about this Spirit that would come upon each and every one of them. The Father and the Son are going to send this Holy Spirit to them, and the Spirit is coming soon. He will be with the disciples in their lives, and he will live within them. The Spirit will stay forever. He is, and it is for their good. Having the Spirit is far better than having Jesus in their life. But Jesus also made some very specific promises about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit would be the presence of Jesus in his disciples. The Spirit would teach the disciples everything they needed to know to accomplish the mission of the kingdom. The Spirit would testify to the truth of Jesus and give the disciples the courage and sometimes the very words that come out of their mouth to testify. The Spirit would convict the world of sin and convince the world of its need for a Savior. And as we will see today, as we dig in, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit was going to change these disciples, transforming them into greater, deeper, nobler, higher, better containers for the glory of God. What happened to Simon the fisherman?
What happened to that man?
A sinful man running around naked fishing. And a coward. One who objected Jesus to his face. That you do not want me. I'm a sinful man, Lord. Do not call me into your service. That's typical of the world and typical of us. He was never much of a disciple, truth be told. Just a nameless fisherman that Jesus called. No theological training at all that we know of. No demonstrated capacity for the things of God. And frankly, never amounted to much in all the years in Jesus' ministry, if you read close. He didn't understand the parables of Jesus. He mistook the teachings of Jesus. He was, in turns, he was proud, very petty, and petulant at some times. He rebuked Jesus to his face, the Son of God. Then he abandoned him. And then he denied even knowing him. Not once, not twice, but three times. And yet 50 days after the cross, Simon had been transformed into Peter, the rock. He was standing before a crowd of thousands, proclaiming the good news like he knew what he was doing. Like he'd been doing this for a long time, Acts verse 2. He was healing crippled beggars, and then defending his actions before the Sanhedrin with remarkable boldness. Acts 3 and 4. He was walking around Jerusalem dripping with so much spiritual power that people brought their sick and laid them in the front and on the side of him that just his shadow would heal them. It was Peter who walked into Cornelius' home and ushered in the first Gentile into Christ's kingdom. It was Peter who was acknowledged the leader of the Jerusalem church, Acts 12 and 15. What happened to Simon, brethren? How does this small man we meet in the Gospels become this giant of Acts? Tradition tells us Peter died as a martyr in Rome. The man who slept when he was asked to pray by Jesus and abandoned Jesus at his arrest and denied Jesus at his trial and hid trembling in an upper room in the aftermath of this cross. This is the man who ended his life by refusing to shut his mouth, to shut up about his faith, shouting out his testimony to people who hated him for it. When condemned to crucifixion for his stubbornness and refusal to deny his God and his Savior, he pleaded to be crucified upside down because he did not find himself worthy to die in the same manner as his Savior. Our scripture reading begins with the Simon problem. Jesus has so much to tell his disciples. He has so much more to give them, but his time on earth is limited. But there are limits to what they can hear. There are limits to what they can take in and understand. Jesus has more to say, but they cannot bear any more, according to Jesus. They get sleepy, they become terrified, they don't understand, and they can't keep up. It doesn't do any good to wonder what else does he want to say to them, because the scriptures do not tell us. Are there more commands we need to know? Are there secrets or mysteries they really need to understand? It doesn't matter. It does not matter, brethren. Because whatever it is Jesus would say, no matter how important, no matter how significant, the disciples can't bear it. The point here is not that Jesus has more to say, but that they can't take any more. The point here is not Jesus' infinite teachings, but their limited capacities, because they are mere men. There is stuff Jesus wants them to know, but they can't hold it. They can't bear any more of those things of God. Their small containers are full. They can't take any more truth. They're not big enough, strong enough, wise enough, nor spiritual enough, unless something changes them. Something that transforms these Simons into Peters. There will always be stuff about God, the kingdom, and the mission, and the power of that kingdom that they cannot bear, and that they do not get, and that they will not be able to embrace. It is the Spirit's job, not ours, to deal with the Simon Peter problem. It is the Spirit's job to take Simons and transform them into Peters. It is the Spirit's job to take limited disciples such as us and guide them into all the truth. It is the Spirit's job to take people who cannot bear any more and to make them capable of bearing more, very much more. But don't think for even a second that just because the Spirit has so much time that this cannot be accomplished within each and every one of you. You see, when we look in the mirror, you know what we see? We see limitation. We see just a housewife. We see just a child. We see just a man. What you don't see, brethren, and what we refuse to see sometimes, is that Spirit that lives within each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit is present with us forever, whereas Jesus was only present for 3 years, brethren. Yes, he has tomorrow and next week and next year and up to a decade to fill us up with all the fullness of God, or as long until God says time should be no more. But the basic problem that the Spirit addresses is not one of time, but the capacity of the vessels. You can't fill a thimble with an ocean of knowledge, no matter how much time you have. Somehow, we must increase the size of us. We must increase the size of the container to match the contents, the full knowledge of God. When small men like Peter, or myself, encounter such a big God, something's got to give. And it ain't going to be God. Either God has to get smaller in my mind, so I can wrap my brains around this great and wonderful sovereign creature, or I have got to grow, that I may hold all this fullness of God and hold all this glory of God that he so freely gave me. It is the ultimate and greatest work of the Holy Spirit to turn Simons into Peters. It is the Spirit's work to enlarge our capacities and to bear these things of God. The Spirit protects us in very many ways. One of these ways is by metering the revelational flow that he gives to each and every one of us. We can't take God directly at full force. We can't even look at him in the face. We need him in small doses and in tiny words. We need him in this slow, gradual, chewable little bites and in bearable increments. God is a fire hydrant. He gushes forth his truth at us. And me, I only have a straw. I can only take a few sips and dribbles here and there. You see, and that's where the Spirit comes in, brethren. He downs the volume. He throttles back the gas. He adapts God's gush to a dribble for each and every one of us. He gives us what we can stand and what we can bear and no more. He gives and then he explains, making sure that we do indeed understand. He translates God using small words so our feeble minds can grasp him. And because the Spirit is here forever, brethren, he can take his time. He lives within us. He knows when we are ready and what we can and cannot understand. Rest in full assurance with that. In truth, he can tell us what we need to know as we need to know it. The Spirit expands us by increasing our capacity. But we must remember, dribbles and sips are very good for a start. Milk and formula is good for a baby, but eventually we must learn to accept meat. The Spirit doesn't want to overwhelm you, brethren, and he doesn't want to force feed you. But there's a time when we must get bigger if we want to contain the fullness of God. And so the Spirit, in his working, he deepens you. And he helps us to become more perceptive. The Spirit matures us and helps us to grow up into the image of Christ. The Spirit enlarges our hearts and opens our minds, and he stretches our lives. The Spirit gives us larger eyes and larger perspectives. And sometimes he closes these eyes so we can see with spiritual eyes. He takes us where we are, no matter where that is, and he makes you stronger. He makes you better. He makes you truer. He makes you nobler, wiser, more compassionate, more kind, more equipped for service in the Lord's kingdom. And he makes you more faithful. The Spirit turns our thimbles into buckets. And then he turns them into barrels. And then he turns them into cisterns. And then he turns us into ponds. And then into lakes. And then an ocean. He takes the smallness in us and he expands it into something jumbo-sized. He grows our spiritual capacity so that we can hold more of the glory, so that we can show more of the image of he who died for each and every one of us. He does this to you, brethren, personally, on a very personal basis. But he also does this to his church, according to the Scriptures. If it wasn't for the Spirit's accomplishing work, we would always be Simons, trying and eternally failing to wrap our arms around this omnipotent God. We would never be capable of holding the fullness of God in our small little fisherman selves. I'm just not that good, and I am not that wise, and I am not that large. I'd blow a gasket, I'd blow a circuit, or bust a seam just trying to take it all in. in the end, I think I want a reduced God. I want a diminished calling and a stunted life. That's what we want. We don't want to accept and take this fullness that God wants to give each and every one of us. Now let's go back to our scripture reading real quick. Because the Spirit has come to words of Jesus, take from what is mine and make it known to us, we can talk with straight faces, each and every one of us, about reflecting the Lord's glory and being transformed into the likeness of His ever-increasing glory. We can talk with straight faces to those outside and those who are without about the joy of being conformed to the likeness of God's Son, Romans 8:29. We can talk with a straight face to those who are without about the desire to put on a new self created in the like God true image, that image of true righteousness and holiness. We can talk to the people outside of the hope of putting on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. We can talk to the people outside of the promise that they will be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. The goal of becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We can tell those people out there that they can have an expectation of growing up in all things into Christ, and the yearning to have a mind that is controlled by the Spirit. That is the mind that is full of life and peace, brethren. Romans 8:6. They need to hear that. The possibility of shining like stars in a universe as we hold forth the word of life every day that we wake up and God gives us this great gift, which we call life here on earth. Let God be praised for this great gift that He has given each and every one of us. And as we close, on behalf of God, on behalf of His Son, Jesus Christ, He offers an invitation for any and all who desire His mercy. Who knows that their very limited capacity and that their sinful self has turned them away in rebellion to their God. But yet God is full and abundant and willing to pardon. And He eagerly desires to save. Do you know this? This is the now and this is the time of the opportunity. The Lord declares this is the day of salvation for you. The opportunity is yours, brethren. And if you have any other need, please come forward while we stand and sing.